Hello, my friends. Alan Scher with the Spa Industry Association. We are back with another very short and easy to listen to podcast for Flock and Gather. I have my good friend Craig Hall with me. Yeah, he's with Elixinol. He does a lot of things. That's CBD, in case those don't know. But we're going to talk music first because Craig's family. Craig, welcome, by the way, Craig Hall.
Thank you, Alan Scher. Good to be here.
Always good having you, too. Hope we can do this in person again soon, yeah?
Absolutely.
Your family has been in music forever. Everyone grows up with music. Everyone has their bands. We have lost a lot of musicians this year. What is up?
It's been a horrible year for that, and a big one for me last week was the one and only Eddie Van Halen. That was really the soundtrack to my 78. I was in seventh grade, sixth or seventh grade, and so that was the first Van Halen one that came out. I'm from San Francisco, so California, where Van Halen's from, and it was a tough week. So I've created some good playlists and been reliving my youth, but that was my soundtrack from junior high through college. I was a big Van Halen guy. The original Van Halen, David Lee. I like the Sammy stuff, but I was a David Lee guy, Alan. How about you, David or Sammy?
It's always hard to go. It's like talking about James Bond, right? I mean, do you right. like Sean Connery or do you like Daniel Craig? Yeah, they're all good, but Sean Connery is James Bond. So
I'm with you.
although I have it's a sideways story to this, but I have to take a minute and tell it to you. So a very dear friend of ours passed away a number of years ago. He had been in this industry forever. Rick Goldberg, may he God rest his soul. And Ricky was the Aveda rep, worked for Horse for many, many years, covered 7 or 8 states in the upper Midwest. Rick looked just like Sammy Hagar.
Oh, wow.
He wore all the bangles. He had the gray locks that went down the back of his hair. He wore the wraparound scarves. Are you picturing Sammy Hagar?
I am. Okay.
And what Rick and I traveled a lot together. He would come to Vegas all the time. He did work for one of my companies. And wherever we went, you could see people stare and whisper because they were absolutely positive they were looking at Sammy Hagar. So one day, I think he was on a bender. God bless him. We get off the plane in Vegas. You know, you get on the 7 a.m. in Minneapolis. You're here. You're in Vegas at 9, 10 a.m., right? And we're walking down the concourse, and we had all these bags. And Rick is not. I said, Rick, just give me your other bag and give me your shoulder bag. And so I'm carrying his crap down, and I'm a foot or two behind him, and he's walking in front of me, and here come these teenage gals with pen and paper in hand. Sammy, can we have your autograph? And Rick doesn't miss a beat, and he's walking straight ahead, and he puts his arm out to the side and says, sorry, ladies, been a long night, and he keeps on walking, and they're squealing in the background, and they thought their life was made. They met Sammy Hagar.
That's a very rock star move. No, ladies, it's been a long night when you're not the artist. That's a very rock star.
Yeah, and here, I'm the schlep. I'm the Sherpa.
You're the roadie.
I'm keeping bags behind them.
That's a great story, Alan.
God bless them. Johnny Nash died this year. I can see clearly now.
Absolutely.
Now you know why I'm tone deaf also, right? But, you know, who didn't grow up with I Can See Clearly Now? I mean,
Excellent.
My parents remembered the song. I remembered the song. My children knew the song.
Right. Well, soft rock was a great musical genre that doesn't really exist anymore. That was, you know, 70s. All the 70s was a soft rock era and some great songs. A lot of one-hit wonders, but a lot of great music out of that era for sure.
Oh, my God. And, well, of course, I graduated high school in 76, or they kicked me out. I'm not sure which one. But in any case, think of I lived through what I would call 60s and 70s.
Right.
Rock, hard rock, soft rock, the steel rock, or what's it called? The real aggressive.
Heavy metal.
Heavy metal. Jesus. I mean, yeah. All that stuff fit into our, and I liked it all.
Yeah.
But you know, my parents were kind of old hippies too. So I liked Frank Sinatra. I liked classic. They listened to a lot of different stuff. And so I think I had a wide breadth of music that kind of shaped a lot of the ways that I'll listen. I'm not good with rap, but past rap, I pretty much love everything.
I like some rap. And my dad started with Capitol Records in Detroit as a promo guy. The radio guy used to go with the songs on the radio to the stations. And
yep.
But back then, the promo guys were also the salesmen. and the marketing rep. So he would carry Frank's coat, get his song on the radio, and make sure he went to the show all in one day. It's not like that anymore.
And supplied him with whatever he needed.
Whatever he needed. Anything you need, Frank.
And then my last favorite one, and I have a story about him too, Bill Withers.
Yeah.
Lovely Day. I mean, the songs go on and on and on. And what a consummate artist. I mean, just his level of music was so high. So here's my Bill Withers story. I'm at a trade show in New York back when I was in the clothing business. I was in the schmata business before I was in spa a long time ago. And a buddy of mine wants me to meet him for a cocktail after the show up at the Mayflower Bar on the Upper West Side. And if you remember, they have that gorgeous, long, 50-foot wood bar. I mean, it's just an amazing place to go have a cocktail. So I walk in, blah, blah, blah. Oh, there's Ted. I go down, I sit next to Ted, and we're at the bar, and I'm on his right side. He's to my left. And he kind of nods his head. He says, look over my shoulder. And I kind of look around, and I go, oh, my God, it's Bill Withers. He's sitting there with a beautiful gal. But what struck me is he's smoking. And I thought, yeah, I know they smoke. But with a voice like that, how do you smoke, right?
Right.
So we get our cocktails, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, okay, I love Bill Withers. I've got to get his autograph. Now, I don't collect autographs from anyone. I don't even know what made me say that. I don't have one autograph in a collection. And all of a sudden, Ted reaches over to me, leans over, and he says, isn't it cool that you can sit at the Mayflower in New York next to Bill Withers and nobody comes up and asks him for his autograph? And I went, yep, that's out the window. Let's order another cocktail.
I'm not sure, Phil. I don't really know what kind of a guy he was, but I wonder if he would have been accepting of your offer to give him an autograph, or would have been an artist and said, get away, kid, you bother me.
I still don't know why people collect those. What do you do with them other than what? Do people collect autographs still?
The reason I collected them is because for years we'd have memorabilia signed. When an artist would come through town, they'd sign a few guitars. We'd give them away at retail. They'd sign a glossy. They'd sign an album cover. They'd sign a CD jacket, a poster, and we'd give them away as Enter to Wins. So I had a lot of that stuff that was stuck in the basement that I, for one reason or another, a promotion fell through and just started to compile. So that was the reason I did it, kind of to tell a story.
Well, I remember on Fox Business, there's a show called Strange Inheritance. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Yeah. She goes around and interviews people who inherit stuff, and it's always quirky, weird. And what do you do with it, right? One of them was a guy who passed away in New York who had been an autograph hunter like his entire life. Long story short, anyways, he had pictures and autographs they thought, by the time they got everything resolved, was worth millions of dollars, right, of unique autographs, some one-offs from people who never sign autographs, but he had one. Right. And so I guess there is a reason for it sometimes along the way. And he liked being around Hollywood royalty, that's all. And he collected autographs and pictures.
I probably have a few out of 33 years in 9 record companies. I probably have a few that are very, very cherished. They're personalized to me, to Craig. Thanks for all your help on the first record. And then they become these mega stars. So I have a little sentimental value, but a lot of them are collecting dust in the basement.
That's by the way, I read something online the other day that talked about the growth in turntables again, that people are going back, that vinyl is being made completely different. For those who don't know, because Craig and I are dating ourselves, vinyl would be an album, people. It came in a cover. They're making vinyl at a higher level, and that turntables now are absolutely generations past what you and I used to listen to.
Yeah, I think we knew vinyl was back when you could buy a $79 turntable at Urban Outfitters or Target. I knew there was a resurgence of that, which happened a few years ago. I remember one of the last deals I left, I put vinyl in Bed Bath & Beyond, and they had these $129 suitcase vinyls. It looked like a suitcase. Yep. You'd open it up. Yep. So I said, oh my God, talk about crossing over now. So yeah, it's back. I wish I kept my turntable. I don't really have one, but I kept my really good pieces of vinyl, my Marley Legend, my Abbey Road, my Beach Boys Pet Sounds, that sort of stuff. I still have all those pieces from originally.
Yeah, I remember buying a Lloyd's. Is Lloyd's in business anymore? Lloyd's turntable at Target.
I don't think so.
Right? And I think it was $59. It took me 4 paychecks from work when I was 12 years old to save up enough to get it.
That's nice.
And I got a turntable. I thought thought it was cool. You had to have a turntable. And then, of course, you spend on speakers. Then you realize you need a receiver. Then you blah, 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 right?
Audiophile, you know, those people who are really into it, for sure. I used to be one of those, and then it kind of passed me by, but I do miss it.
Really quick, you know, for those who don't know, Craig Hall now runs sales at Elixinol. That's E-L-I-X-I-N-O-L. Did I get that right? Elixinol.
That's correct, Al.
They are an amazing CBD company. You've got to look them up. You've got to reach out to Craig. But I talked with your gals when? A week or 2 weeks
ago? Yeah, last week, right.
I was amazed about all the things I didn't know, but I really love the packaging and the relabeling and the story, and everything's cool about Elixinol and what you guys do.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah, I've been here a little over almost 4 months, and it's been a great company. I love the product. I love the messaging. I love the history of our founder. Paul Fenton was kind of a pioneer in hemp. And it's just a very, very cool story. And then obviously personally, you know, being a 54-year-old former tennis pro and having aches and pains, I was a CBD fan, and you know, things weren't really working for me. And I found some of the products that Elixinol did, and it was what kind of made me want to work for them, on top of learning about CBD when I had a dog going through cancer. And CBD, I really believe, saved her life. It kept her appetite up during chemo and radiation. So I really, it's close to my heart. I love my job at Performance Health, helping people feel good and perform their best. So I'm doing that in a deeper way from the inside out with overall balance. And Elixinol is a perfect match for what I want to do. And I really love the product and the people there.
Well, and I'm, you know, I'm a CBD user as well. But what I loved about, what I think it was Erica and Melissa that I had the conversation with.
Right.
It's just great people in your in your company. But I had the conversation with them, and one of the gals said it as well, where it's, you need oil and cream for the outside of the body. Yes, you're going to get a massage, you're going to heal up your foot, whatever it is. But you guys have done an amazing job taking care of the half of our lives. That's the inside of the body. So 50% is the outside, 50% is the inside, and you guys have that inside covered.
Listen, I mean, today is, as you know, mental health, worldwide mental health day. So the company gave us the afternoon off to go do something for our mental health. And I'm getting a massage at my favorite place, Sacred Hour, here in Lakewood, Ohio. So I'll be doing that, getting a nice 90-minute CBD chill massage at 3:30. But yeah, I mean, I believe in that, Alan. I believe that we're all a little out of balance, especially when stress takes its toll. And learning about CBD, and I take our melatonin caps, our good night caps at night to help me sleep. And I track my sleep score with my Fitbit. And for the past couple of months, my score has been a lot higher than it was before I started taking it. And then in the morning, I take our Stressless, which has ashwagandha and CBD. So I am really trying to be balanced at 54, making sure I keep ahead of stress and anxiety and aches and pains, and it's really changed my life. So I really am a big proponent of it. And I, you know, the days I didn't have it, or I was out, or I forgot to take it, I feel a difference. So I'm glad you like the product, and I think we all need a little help to keep ourselves balanced and turned.
Sidebar to CBD, but also goes hand in hand. You talked about sleep, and you know, if you're not sleeping soundly and well, almost everything else in the other 16 hours of the day, it does not operate well for you. You sleep is so critical, and not everyone can do it well for whatever the environmental factors might be, which is why finding the right CBD or adjunct to whatever it is that helps you sleep, it's critical. It's not, it's your mattress, it's your sheets, it's your pillows, it's your CBD you take. It's all of these things combined, not just one item, right?
It's very true. You know, I when I was in the music business, it was a very late night. We'd have to go to the shows and do the meet and greet. So my sleep wasn't great. I was stressed out. I was overweight. I drank too much. I was unhealthy. And so when I turned 50, I changed my life. And at 54, I've been here for 3.5 years, but you know, our melatonin caps don't, you know, it's not about a high dose of melatonin. It's a nice mirror, you know, to a 2 milligram dose of melatonin with our 15 milligrams of CBD. We did a lot of testing and found that people who were taking 5 and 10 milligrams didn't need that. Maybe they felt groggy in the morning. So it's all about balance in the products that we do, but yeah, critical. I was getting sleep scores in the high 50s, low 60s, Alan, off your Fitbit. I don't know if you know. So, you know, 5.5, 5, 15, 5, you know, 5.5 hours. And now I'm in, you know, if I hit 7 hours, I get an 85% sleep score, and I'm in the mid 70s to upper 70s consistently now. Wow. And I don't get sleepy at my desk. I don't fall asleep in the middle of the afternoon. I don't feel groggy. I feel well rested, and I go to bed and wake up at the same time. So it's about that circadian rhythm of when you go to bed, how deep you sleep, and when you get up. And it's really helped me achieve great sleep quality.
So you're not, sorry about that, you're not looking for that Red Bull and vodka or coffee at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
You know, I probably used to take that Monster energy drink, and I don't need it now. I feel for you. I'll get sleepy at the right times, and I'll be alert and awake at the right times. It's not even an issue for me anymore, but for years it was, for sure.
Oh my God, I love it. Well, we've talked Eddie Van Halen, Johnny Nash, Bill Withers, the music business, dogs, CBD, melatonin. I don't know. I think we've covered it pretty good today.
Thanks, Alan. Listen, I appreciate you, buddy.
Craig, love you. Miss you. People, look up elixinol.com. Find Craig Hall. He's all over the darn internet, and I mean that in the very best way. And please remember, people, be kind to one another.